Hi, this is Jack Vaughn, and I'm with you on the Talking Data podcast today again with Ed Burns, the editor and reporter for Search Business Analytics site. Ed has been looking at some issues that have to do with Spark. It's often been covered on the data management side as a new analytical engine, but it has sort of been the province of the software engineers and developers really so far. But we've been looking in-house here at a recent survey by Databricks. Of course, they are the company that's really most solely dedicated to promoting and providing Spark. There's some indications that there's more of a Spark present on the analytical side of the house. I suppose since it's an analytical engine, that was going to happen. And so there's some things the surveys may have showed that may fit with things we're seeing. Ed, can you give us a rundown?
Yeah, just taking a look at that recent Databricks survey, one of the things that really jumped out to me was the number of use cases that we're seeing Spark being applied to. One of the most common use cases, 68% of respondents said that they're using Spark for business intelligence. Another 44% said that they're using it for building recommendation engines. It's also popular for log processing and fraud detection use cases. So it looks like people are really engaging it for some of these more traditional business intelligence and data science problems. And looking a little deeper in the survey, I think that it sort of makes sense. 22% of the respondents said that they are data scientists. And when the respondents were asked what the most important features they see in Spark are, 64% said advanced analytics, higher than real-time streaming data frames or SQL standards. So it really looks like people are going in really heavy on things like MLlib, the library of machine learning algorithms, as well as GraphX, the library of graph processing algorithms. We also see it when we look at the types of languages that users are using in Spark. 18% said that they're using R, which is obviously a really stats heavy data science type language. And also 58% said that they're using Python, which that's up 49% from when Databricks did the survey last year. By far the largest growth in use. At the same time, we're seeing declines in the number of users who are using Scala and Java. So Python being another pretty popular language among data scientists and analysts. So yeah, just from all this evidence, it looks like the use of Spark among data scientists and analysts is really growing. Like you said at the beginning, it's not just not just a tool for the backroom engineer types anymore. It seems like it's really being embraced by a broader audience.
I'm thinking, Ed, that what you're seeing with Python here recalls some other stories that we've been running lately. In fact, one you did in which it features the New York Times data scientist or chief data scientist.
Yeah, Chris Wiggins.
And so he had an angle on Python, and I think he was comparing it to R and what he saw with skill sets and the people in his group.
Yeah, that's right. He was talking about the types of people who he hires for his team. And being the chief data scientist, obviously a lot of the work is really stats focused. They're looking to build recommendation engines and do predictive analytics on what sorts of content drives user engagement, things like that. It's very stats heavy stuff. But he said that he and his team, they really don't use R at all, which may come as a little bit of a surprise, given that is probably the leading language for that type of statistical work. Instead, he said they focus primarily on using Python, which it can be applied to a lot of the similar statistics problems that R can be. The difference is you can also use it for a broader array of programming. And what he said he likes about it is that it brings in people with more of a computer science type background. And so what that means to Wiggins is that once they're done with some sort of statistical experiment, they then have the skills in-house that they can build an application from it, or build a web portal that pulls in the data, that kind of thing. So that's what he liked about Python, is that once you're done with the project, once you're done with the data science project, I should say, you have the skills there that you can build something and take it out to a broader audience. He said it doesn't die a cold death as a slide deck.
Okay, well, let's take it to the streets ourselves here and move along. Thanks, people, for being with us on the Talking Data podcast. And we will be with you next time.